Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Welcome back to The Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today's episode is another fun one. We're going to be covering stories that don't typically fit the Swamp Dweller theme. Stories from the workplace, stories from the streets, stories with other human beings. They do truly say the worst demons and monsters in the world are other humans, and these stories will definitely attest to that. Be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for these creepy and downright strange stories that'll freak you out tonight. Today's episode is sponsored by HelloFresh. Are you tired of figuring out what's for dinner night after night, especially on those busy weekdays? Get dinner done the easy way thanks to HelloFresh. It's easy to find time to eat well with 50 wholesome, hassle-free meals to choose from each week delivered straight to your door. HelloFresh's new, ready-made meals go from the fridge to your fork in just 3 minutes. It's the same high-quality ingredients and restaurant-worthy flavor you expect from HelloFresh, just with none of the work. I have been using HelloFresh for quite a number of years, and I've always enjoyed it. The ingredients have always been fresh, they've always been prepared and ready to go, and it's only taken a couple of minutes to get everything cooked and ready to eat. So, what are you waiting for? Join me and everyone else in the swamp today. Get up to 10 free meals and a free high-protein item for life at HelloFresh.com/swamped10FM. One item per box with active subscription. Free meals applied as discount on first box. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's up to 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/swamped10FM. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
A little backstory. I am a female chef and have been in the industry for the past 11 years. I have been through my fair share of some messed up things and have seen plenty of horrific things. At the time of this story, I was working at a high-end Italian restaurant / wine bar. And by the high-end, I mean, I work there and I get the scraps, but I couldn't afford to actually eat there. This bar is located in a busy and nice side of the downtown area that I live in. It was New Year's Eve turning into New Year's Day as we closed the bar at 2 in the morning. The ones closing the bar with me were the sous chef, who I will call Jay, and the bartender, who I will call Mike. We close up the restaurant and chug a beer for us to finally ring in the New Year's without being slammed with orders. Jay goes to an after-hours bar while Mike goes to his car to drop off his things and follow after Jay. I'm off to go to my car, which is a 10-minute walk away. Walking past a group of three guys who stopped talking as soon as I approached them, I thought nothing of it, pulling out my phone. I decide to play some Pokemon Go with all the Pokestops that are along the way. After stopping to try and catch one I saw out of the corner of my eye, the groups of guys slowly making their way towards me. I get a bad vibe from this and move along in the alleyway, and try to call my husband. Of course, the one time I really need him, he doesn't pick up. I call him again, and then bam, I run smack dab into a gate. Silly me didn't stop to think about if they closed off the back way of these restaurants when they are closed. Here I am, all 5'3½ of me, trapped with three guys blocking my way out of the alley. They were pretty big guys. Taking on one would be a problem, but all three? No way. So with a strong voice, quote unquote, I told them to back off, but my voice cracked at the end. They stopped, looked at one another, and then the biggest of the three smiled in a perverted fashion. It was then my mind screamed at me to do something, anything. The big guy said, I looked cold and lonely, and that they could make that all change. Don't go down without a fight, I thought to myself. I dropped my purse and pulled out my pocket knife, flashing it at them, yelling at the top of my lungs, not caring how crazy I looked or sound. The bigger man came running at me, screaming incoherent words at me. I closed my eyes and started to slash as I wasn't going anywhere without the will of the gods. If I go down, I'm going down swinging, goddammit. Through all of that, I didn't realize that someone came to help me. It was Mike and Jay, and I almost cut one of them in my blind swinging. I don't know what happened in that short time. I had my eyes closed, screaming at the top of my lungs, but I didn't care as I was saved. My photo wouldn't be on the news in the morning. After the whole ordeal, the boys walked me to the bar to look over to make sure I wasn't hurt. Again, I tried to call my husband, and again, he didn't answer. Somehow, I knew those bastards were gonna pick on you, of all people out here on the streets, Mike said to me after I hang up my phone. I gave him a puzzled look. They were upset they couldn't find a girl or two that would let them have their way. One of them said they're just gonna take that next bitch they see, which I guess was you, Mike said in a tone that turned dark. Alright, Black Magic, we're gonna get you to your car. Stay here. Do not unlock the doors till we get back. Tell me when you are parked. Jay said as he gave me a glass of water. They left, and only 3 minutes later I hear glass shattering. I hid in the dish machine, not knowing what else to do. I could hear screaming. It was the same drunken screaming from the alleyway. I was terrified as I thought they followed me, and now I'm alone again. I flipped out. My mind was racing and I kept thinking, what am I going to do? I didn't need to. Flashing lights showed up. The guys didn't know who I worked for, and obviously I'd forgotten that the police station literally was a block over. I came crawling out. I saw my car pull up and police started questioning all three of us. I don't know what happened to those guys, but I'm thankful for my coworkers sticking around and helping when they did. Who knows what would have happened if they didn't? I'd probably be dead. As for the husband, well, I gave him the cold shoulder for the next 3 days. Nowadays, I don't work the night shift, and I moved to a different bar that's a 20-minute walk from that Italian bar. I still on occasion go in to have some wine, as the chef and owner always gives me a happy hour price. I don't leave there alone, that's for sure. Jay moved out west and Mike opened up his own wine store, where I'll be his guest chef when he's doing pairing classes. It's been 3 years and we still talk. The two of them always check on me on New Year's Eve.
I was in Mexico at a bar called Mr. Clown's. I had to pee, so I went to the restroom. When I walked in, it was empty. It was a small restroom. One door, one stall, one urinal, and one sink. Nobody was in there. I did my business, and it took maybe 30 seconds at most. When I turned around, to my surprise, I see two dudes just going at it. Now I should note, I have no problem with who someone chooses to love. This is not, ew, gross, gay guy story. In fact, I have no problem with these dudes doing their thing, other than the fact that I wanted to wash my hands. But the sink was otherwise occupied. Here's where it gets weird. I head back to my table and begin to tell my friends what just happened. As I relay the story, I keep waiting for these dudes to come out of the restroom, which we can clearly see from our table, so I can point them out. As I'm telling my friends, it starts to dawn on me that the timing's all wrong. I didn't hear the guys enter the restroom or make any noise. It was a small room. It wasn't like these guys were sneaking. They weren't just getting started when I turned around. They were at full stride. That process is not a silent one. I would have noticed two dudes walking in on my heels and immediately starting to screw less than 6 feet away from me. At this point, there's still nobody walking out of the restroom. 10 minutes go by, and my friends have gone from waiting to see who walks out to thinking I'm pulling a fast one on them. So a friend and I get up and walk back over to the restroom. Nobody's in there. It's empty. We were watching the whole time, and nobody left. My drunk buddy immediately says, dude, ghost. To which I asked, gay ghost? Gay exhibitionist ghost? We took this suggestion back to the table, and another drunk friend suggested maybe these were the ghosts of some gay guys who were tragically gay-bashed, and this is how they haunt the location of their murderer. It'd certainly be justice of all sorts that would make their attackers as uncomfortable as possible. We all had a good giggle and laughed it off, but the fact remains to this day, nobody came out of the restroom, and there was no door or window out. I did not hear these guys enter or make any noise at all until I turned around, and there was suddenly very audible smacking noises. When we went back over, they were gone. I know what I saw, and I laugh about it to this day, but I also know it doesn't add up, and it creeps me out more than a little.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast? You end up waiting. A lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Last night, my best friend and I were bar hopping on Pink Street in Lisbon. I'm listing the location because I think this guy will try to pull this again with another person. While walking to another bar, we met a guy named Armando. He seemed genuine and sweet, so we had a casual conversation for a few minutes before heading inside. During the conversation, he said,
"Be careful in Portugal. You are not as safe as you think."
While it struck me as odd, I thought a cultural language barrier was the reason for the way he said it. I thought he was just trying to remind me to be safe. It should also be mentioned that at this point I was pretty drunk as it was about 1 hour till bar close time. We split up and head into the next bar and continue to take shots with other bar hoppers. Armando pops up at the bar we're at, and at this point, there's no reason for suspicion. He buys me a shot or two, and we take like two selfies and all as well. Some time passes and I'm talking and dancing with another guy who I'll call Mr. Brown. My friend and I continue to meet other people and keep dancing until bar closing. After closing, my friend and I separate ourselves from the crowd so the Uber can find us easily. Armando approaches us and says to add him on Instagram. His phone was dead. Thinking nothing of this, I let him type in his name, but instantly, he swiped to the main screen and called himself on my phone. He goes to call a second number, and I stop him and say, "No, one number is enough." I take my phone back and we engage in a very light conversation while waiting for the Uber. We were slightly annoyed, but my guard was down so I didn't feel afraid. I typically have a very strong intuition, so I'm sure the drinking impaired my judgment heavily. Eventually, we get him to leave and our Uber shows up. The night was over and I was ready to go to bed. When I woke up this morning, my friend told me that she had a horrible feeling about him. Well, I received a message from Mr. Brown on Insta this morning saying, "Your boyfriend almost got hurt last night when he pulled a knife on me." I replied to say my boyfriend wasn't at the bar, so it couldn't have been him. I was able to send the selfie to Mr. Brown for confirmation that it was Armando. It was. Honestly, I'm just really freaked out right now, and I figured I'd share with you guys. If you're on Pink Street and a guy named Armando approaches you, he wasn't with anyone when we initially thought he was with someone. Pay absolutely no mind to him, and definitely don't get too close to him, because he might just try to stab you. Last Friday, after a particularly difficult week at work, I wanted to meet up with some friends at a local wine bar and art house that we are regulars at. My poetry was actually debuted there, and I am good friends with the owner. I texted my friends during the day, and I was thinking that it's going to be fun. I work close to the wine bar, so I head there straight after work, arriving before my friends. I order a glass of wine. I greet the owner who is behind the bar, and there is an older man there who seemed excited to have a conversation, but I cut it short. He seemed intoxicated already, and take it out into the patio to relax. It's quiet at the bar, but by the time my friends arrive, 45 minutes to an hour later, it begins getting really busy. They order their drinks while I get a second one. We find a spot outside of the patio to catch up. A few of their friends join us while chatting with a group of guys, who we have never seen before. They try to come up and hit on us as well. They are saying things about how they like the way we look. We shake them off politely and keep chatting. My boyfriend texts and says he would be by in a few minutes to drop something off. He knows the owner, it was a piece of art for the bar. My boyfriend pulls up and drops the item off. I walk him to his car and give him a kiss goodbye. I go back to my friends and they are chatting and having a good time. The group of guys comes up to us again and we shake them off again. I finish my second drink and my friend asks if he wants to go to the side of the building to smoke a bit. I was down with this idea, so we went to the side, continuing our chatting. My friend was rolling her joint, and this is when I start to feel strangely lightheaded and began having hot flashes, like when you are about to pass out. I remember turning my head to look out towards the road and everything seemed very far away, and then everything went black. I remember bits and pieces of trying to get to the car, and my legs not working. My friend's trying to hold me up, and the next thing I remember is sitting on a couch crying with my friend. She tells me that she called my boyfriend to come stay with me, and that they think someone put something in my drink. I notice my legs are scraped and bleeding, but I don't remember falling. My boyfriend stayed with me all night. I remember bits and pieces of it. Most of this being crying, confusion, and being extremely uncomfortable. Yes, I am happy and grateful that my friends were there to notice and got me out of there safely, but I was greatly affected by the way I felt. I don't feel safe anywhere anymore. I feel uneasy. This may be because I have prided myself on being able to take care of myself and my ability to protect myself. This is a place I haven't felt the same. I have had sleep issues and anxiety since this happened as well. My boyfriend wants to bring me back when I am ready so I can have good memories there and experience it in a good way again. I don't know why I'm really writing this other than to attempt to get some sense of relief. If you ever go to the bar or social gathering, always be wary of your drink and who you have around you. Thank you, Swamp, for allowing me to share my experience with you. A few years ago, I worked in a bar in my hometown. I was 18 at the time. It was one of the busier spots and one of the few open until 2 a.m. I had worked there for about a year at this point, and people from the sixth form would regularly come by. This particular night wasn't too great for me. I had some terrible customers and wasn't feeling too great. I also suffered from anxiety at the time, so if my stress levels peaked, I just cried uncontrollably. Attractive, I know. Anyway, as I'm working, a group of people come in who I went to high school with. In the group were Dan and Felix. Felix was the nicest guy I've ever met, although Dan was an arse. I and Dan flirted when we first met, but nothing came of it. We were still friends, then suddenly we weren't anymore, and he would always make me uncomfortable. He'd constantly ignore me and talk about me, etc. So I tried to avoid serving this group because of Dan when they came to the bar. Luckily, another server, Leia, gets to him instead. Everything is going well until Dan stumbles to the bar and knocks over a drink someone had just ordered. Leia tries to get his attention but can't, so I try to help so he doesn't get in trouble. When I shout at him, not maliciously, just the music was loud, he comes over. I explain he knocked this woman's drink over and she wasn't happy. It had apparently spilled over her too. He turns to the woman and apologizes and offers to buy her another. When he orders, I realize he is beyond drunk. I've never seen him this bad, but I let it go. Leia grabs the bottle from the fridge, and then we turn back around, and Dan has now walked away. Now, bar policy was if someone didn't pay for a bottle that was opened or a drink that was poured, they were removed for the night, unless they came back to pay. We try to get Dan's attention, but he isn't listening. I got one of the managers that night, Max, and explained what happened. He goes around the bar and tries to talk to Dan. He also takes a member of the door staff with him because of how intoxicated Dan is. You know, just in case. At this point, I leave and serve someone in the middle of the bar, away from all of this. About 2 minutes later, Dan is being removed. As they walk him out, I shout over to Felix, who didn't know what was going on. I explain what had happened, and he wasn't banned. Just needed to leave for the night. Felix, being Felix, says okay, sorry for the hassle, and goes to find Dan. Before they can get him to the door, Dan decides to run back in the bar and at me. He leans over the bar and shouts in my face about how I'm a bitch, etc., before being forcibly removed. This was too much for me, and I ran off to the back of the bar and burst into tears because of my anxiety. Not too long later, the other manager who wasn't involved, Joe, comes to get me. Joe was a shoot-first-ask-questions-later kind of woman. So when she got to me, she started shouting that I was unprofessional and shouldn't run off the bar like that. Then she realized I was crying and asked what had happened. I told her and told her the part where we didn't get on, so that was probably why it was worse. Joe was very protective of staff, so she brought me outside to see if he was still around, to identify him so she could ban him for upsetting me. I didn't want this because I knew it would just make it worse, but she insisted. We had a sister bar, so to speak, next door, and she went to see if he was there. He was. What Joe did next, I think, was really wrong, though. She sent a member of door staff in, didn't explain anything, and they physically removed Dan from the building. He was obviously very mad, and they started screaming at each other. She accused Dan of abusing me, her words, not mine, among other things. But she also made me stand and watch. Dan was infuriated and started shouting at me, saying I was full of it. I understood his anger, but I couldn't defend myself because I was crying so much. Then Dan lunges for Joe. It was ridiculous. The door staff got involved before he could do anything, at which point Felix ran outside and dragged Dan down the street. Joe asked if I was okay, and I was sent back to work. Now, all of this was just a huge mess, but I figured I could deal with the aftermath when I saw him next and explain. He had other ideas. Apparently, Dan decided to sit outside the building and watch the rest of the night, for about 2 hours roughly. I didn't know at first, but Joe noticed it would go out and keep tabs, but she didn't tell me. My boyfriend worked at the same bar at the time, and Joe told him what was happening and asked him to work near me in case I noticed. I think she thought it would calm me down. At the end of the night, we cleaned the bar, mopped the floors, etc., before going home. As I'm getting glasses from the windows, I saw Dan and he's staring at me. I don't know what he was going to do or if he was going to do anything at all, but I panic and start hyperventilating. Joe and other staff notice, as it turns out all the staff was aware at this point. They were told to get me in the cellar if he came near the building. I was made to go to the cellar at the end, where I had a minor panic attack. For the first time ever, that night door staff stayed until we all finished work. Then, one of the door staff, along with a member of the bar staff, had to scope the area before I left. Another member of bar staff also drove me home that night when I normally walked. I was so scared. I avoided going anywhere near him at school after that, and after we finished school, I barely went out. He had told all my friends his side of the story, whatever that was, and I was removed from all group chats and they cut off contact with me. He never came back to the bar, and I've only ever seen glimpses of him walking past when I visit home. To this day, I still panic when I see him.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
I often go to a local bar with my girlfriend. We live less than 2 miles from downtown and decided on one Friday night to enjoy the nightlife. Everything, in the beginning, is generally pretty chill. We find a parking spot, we walk to the bar, sit down and order drinks. After about 10 or 15 minutes of drinking and talking amongst ourselves and the bartender, this odd-looking gentleman walks into the bar and asks if he can sit next to my girlfriend and I. We of course obliged and allowed him to take the empty chair next to us. Now, you gotta understand, we were sitting at the main bar, so it's not like we invited him to a private table or anything. My girlfriend, being the nice individual she is, decides to introduce us to him and make some small talk. Everything is going fine until I head to the bathroom. I ended up doing this a few times that night, as for whatever reason, alcohol just seems to go straight through me. As I came back the first time, my girlfriend gave me a bit of a strange look, but I brushed it off thinking nothing of it. As I sit back down, I can hear this guy going on and on about how he hates his wife and wants a divorce, and witness him time and time again fail on picking up every woman who walks by. Probably 30 minutes later, I've downed a few more drinks and make my way to the bathroom once again. This time when I come back, my girlfriend immediately whispers in my ear that this man has been saying some really concerning and outright disgusting things to her. He was saying things like, "If your boyfriend doesn't work out, you can live with me and I'll take care of you. And if you need me to remove your boyfriend from the picture, I can." After hearing that, I gave my favorite bartender the flag that I was cashing out my tab and was leaving. This is where I wish it ended. The guy somehow found us on Instagram of all things the next day. He began to send us tons of creepy and nasty messages. Things about how he wanted to do sexually explicit things toward my girlfriend, and some truly bold and choice statements made towards me. This isn't really the scariest story by any means. Considering the sheer amount of stories I have read on this channel over the years, it was very disturbing and a creepy experience to me personally, though. I have had a few more creepy experiences at the bar, but I don't know how to make them into interesting stories as they sound so mundane in retrospect, but were incredibly creepy at the moment. I was traveling in Taiwan when I was 21 and went out to a bar with a few guys that I had met in Taipei. I'm an American guy. There was a middle-aged Italian chef, a Canadian that worked in finance, and a Welsh guy. This Welsh guy is a bit important as he was the main proponent for following this girl we met. He was visiting Taiwan from mainland China where he lived full-time, and he had a girlfriend that he couldn't stand back there. So he was hungry to cheat. Anyway, we were out at a bar downtown and I spotted a girl who was sitting alone, so I thought I'd invite her to our table. Turns out she was actually there with someone, but he was inside getting drinks. Either way, we invited them both over to join us. They were both Americans. She was from Boston, and I remember they both were young. I'm not certain of the girl's age, but I actually remember the guy was around 20. We learned of this via the reason he was in Taipei, which was the first red flag for me. He was escaping the US because he had sex with an underage girl, and I'm not sure of the details. He was waiting for her to turn 18 before he went back to the US because her parents called the police on him. Fast forward a few hours of her rambling about how she wants to help underprivileged people, and I was ready to have a change of scenery. She excitedly insists that we go to a bar that's nearby. In fact, she mentioned that she has three girlfriends who are waiting there at this very bar right now. I felt a bit suspicious of her already, but I actually had heard great things about this bar from other people, so I figured it would be okay. As we arrive at the new bar, it ends up being closed. Instantly, and even without checking her phone, she says that her friends are actually at a different bar, but for this one, we should take a taxi. That's the end for me, and I let the guys know that we need to get out of here, because she is being too strange, and we were getting into a less populated part of the city. Luckily, we had too many people for one taxi, so we get the address from her and agree to meet her there. We load up into our own taxi and go straight to a different bar. Once she realizes we weren't coming, she starts to message the Welsh guy. We had all exchanged Facebook information and was begging us to come to meet her. She told him that her friends are there and they want some guys to hang out with. To my shock, this guy even tries talking us into it. We all refuse and just continue the night at the bar that we're at. Throughout the night, she didn't stop messaging him, and even began to message me and another guy. I asked her to send me a picture of her and her friend, and she quickly responded with a picture of her and three girls. But seriously, she had on a different outfit on that we saw her in before. Eventually, she sends us messages saying she is back at the original bar waiting for us, and that her friends are getting tired but really want to meet us. Finally, we convinced the Welsh guy to stop responding and wind down for the night. This gave us the creeps a bit, but the best part happened in the morning. When I was having breakfast, I was recalling the strange girl to a Danish guy I'd met. As soon as I mentioned how she tried to lure us to a bar, he said, "Wait, was she from Boston?" Apparently, she had done the same exact thing to him and some friends the previous weekend. I'm not sure what would have happened if we went along with her plans, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't have ended well. Always trust your gut instinct and be wary of people trying to lure you away from a bar, especially if they're acting strange or suspicious. This was back in the 1990s. I was a single mom and picked up a Saturday night bartending job at a place that was off the highway on Frontage Road. Not immediately close to anything, but in between some pretty large towns in the affluent suburbs of North Chicago. This place was hopping after work hours, but sadly, not on Saturday nights, and I'd often find myself alone or with only a handful of customers. This particular night was dark, rainy, and a thunderstorm was raging outside. In walks this rugged, handsome man, windswept blonde hair, crystal blue eyes, nice build, and he sits at the bar. It's just the two of us, and I walk over to take his drink order. He orders, I make the drink, and he put out $2.25 on the bar. I hand him the drink and realize that he didn't give me enough money. So I tell him that I need another quarter. The drink is $2.50. Mind you, we are alone in this good-sized bar. It's a dark night, and thunder and lightning are raging outside. It's not close to any other businesses that I could run to or where other people might be able to help me out. He looks me straight in the eye and calmly says, I'm Satan. Tell me what you really want. I can give you anything you want. What is it that you really want? At this, I'm shaking in my shoes. Not sure how I even mustered up a response, and I look back at him and said, I want another quarter for your drink, and I want you to stop being scary. He gave me the quarter, downed his drink, and left. I had to close up alone, and believe me, I was on edge until the following morning. I didn't work there much longer after that. Seeing Satan once was enough. I wanted to add, he had the most unusual and beautiful gold pendant on. It was an ornate octopus, and now that I read a lot about conspiracies and high strangeness, the octopus symbolizes the Illuminati. The bar was close to, but not in a very affluent Chicago suburb. I can't help but wonder who he actually was, or worse, what he was actually up to. So let's start with some background. I'm a male and have been in college for a few years now. A group of people from my program would always go to this dive bar on our college's street every Thursday night. They did karaoke, so it was a fun way for us all to blow off steam once a week. Unfortunately, as the school year went on, the bar got sketchier and sketchier. Weirdos showing up, creepy old guys hitting on very sober college girls, etc. Until one day, this group of guys started showing up. They weren't the cleanest, friendliest, or even the soberest of people. Frequently hitting on some of my friends and making some very extremely uncomfortable. One time, one of the guys walked up to my friend and flat out asked in the middle of our conversation if we wanted any cocaine. He of course politely declined. Anyway, now that some background is out of the way. On this particular night, we decided to stay until last call. Not unusual for us, but it was also not a regular thing. I had heard some of the cocaine guys saying how they wanted some college ladies that night. Concerned for my friends who weren't dressed the most PG of the group, I asked a couple of my boys to stick back with me to make sure that we were safe. They of course agreed because they're bros and they were concerned as well. So we chilled at the table near the door and waited until they came out of the bathroom half an hour after the last call, this is about 2:30 in the morning now, and we see to it that they call their Uber and get in safe. Once they drive off, my buddies and I start walking back to the residence, so it's just the three of us, me and my two friends. Walking back at 2:40 in the morning, we get about 5 minutes away from the bar when I hear the scuffing of shoes behind us. I turned around to see one of the shorter cocaine guys walking a little ways behind us, in a quick fashion. It was late, I was tired, and I made nothing of it. Big mistake. 5 more minutes pass and I hear someone say, "Hey, wait up!" from behind us. It's Mini Cokehead, and he has a taller friend with him now. I immediately get this terrible feeling in my gut. We ignore them and start walking faster, but Mini Coke squeezes between my friend and me and stops dead in front of me. Crap, I think to myself. This is where I die. Rip me. Nice knowing you fellas. The bigger guy looks at us, almost sizing us up, and says, "You boys know there's a tax for walking out here so late, right?" We all look at each other, with a mix of annoyance and confusion. Mini Coke chimes in with $30 each, now. Now, with us being poor college students, we don't carry cash on us, and we made that known. "Give us your wallets then," the big guy said. We lied through our teeth saying we didn't even have those on us either. So big guy puts his hands on my buddy's shoulders and says, while pointing down to a very poorly lit street, "Then you don't mind if we pat you down over here, do ya? You're not carrying wallets, so there's nothing to worry about, right?" Of course, I mind you, weirdo, leave us alone. My buddy had the same idea because he shoved the guy's hands off his shoulder saying, "Nope, not gonna do that." Then the big guy out of nowhere grabs my buddy by the throat and punches him square in the jaw. My other buddy tackles the big guy off him, while Mini Coke jumps on his back. I'm standing there, basically frozen and having never been in a fight before, let alone a mugging. My buddy realizes it and turns to me shouting, "Run!" So I start to sprint away, looking back and seeing my boys not too far behind. The big guy yells,
Get back, you cowards.
Obviously, we had no intention of returning to them, so we just sprinted, eventually losing them. My buddy calls the cops, they met back us with us at a residence, and we give them our statements. I take the officers to the bar, and where we got attacked. They say they'll let us know if they find them. One of our other friends, who just so happened to be up at the time, came and invited us up to his room for some celebratory whiskey, cause the only reason we stayed behind and got mugged was cause we wanted to protect our lady friends from those guys. It's been a couple of months and I've heard nothing from the cops, but needless to say, we had to find a new spot for our Thursday night outings.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapist provides specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Tired of scrolling through endless sitter profiles on other sites only to get ghosted? For over 20 years, Sitter City has been the go-to resource for parents who want a more personalized, reliable way to find trustworthy sitters and nannies. While other sites flood you with options, Sitter City focuses on bringing you high-quality matches that are the right fit for your family every time. With SitterCity.com, you can find full-time, part-time, or occasional care that meets your specific needs. Every caregiver is ID verified and profiles include real parent reviews, background checks, and specialized experience, so you can spend less time searching and more time doing what matters most, spending time with your family. And did you know that many employers include Sitter City as part of their benefits package? In a few clicks, find out if you can get Sitter City free. Getting started has never been easier. Take the guesswork out of finding care so you can breathe easier knowing your kids are in good hands. Visit SitterCity.com today to get the care you need.
This happened last year in 2018. This happened to my cousin, so I'll be telling it through her perspective. She and her boyfriend are sitting in an old bar in Chicago enjoying a drink. There are a few people milling about, a substantial space with pool tables, pinball machines, etc. It's not a huge crowd. She keeps seeing this little girl in a very old-timey dress with a huge bow on her back, going around the patrons. She says to her boyfriend something to the tone of, "What a cute old-timey dress. I wonder what kind of performance is going on here." And he replies that he sees nothing. So she chalks it up to some mistiming. This happens a couple of times. Finally, a little while later, she sees the girl interact with the pinball machine for a spell, apparently trying to peek up and see what's going on inside the machine, but not able to play the game. She says something, "There, she's back over there, the girl with the pinball machine." He looks over, sees absolutely nothing directly where she is pointing, and says, "So?" They proceed to have a conversation about the discrepancy. She proceeds to describe everything this girl is doing, where she is walking, what she is looking at, and so on, and he just denies it repeatedly, getting worried for her mental health as his eyes follow empty space around the room. I asked her questions like, "Did you try to interact with this being?" She was like, "No, it was weird," and she interacted with the pinball machine. But if this was a ghost, pinball wouldn't have existed back in the 1900s era her style belongs to. How does she know what a pinball machine is, and how can she interact with it? She says she doesn't know, but she acted as if she did this all the time, as if the little girl knows the place well. They apparently asked the establishment owners and were told the place had some history of being there a long time. That's all I remember, but I thought it was super fun. It opened up my mind to the possibilities that ghost-like entities can actually become familiar with elements from our time and aren't just stuck in a time loop or whatever. There are different types of spirits out there, some that are more human-like and can learn. She is definitely one of the soundest mind people I know and would not make something up. Nor has she ever hallucinated, nor does her family have any form of insanity she would inherit. I believe she saw some kind of being, like the ghost of a child maybe. I know this isn't much of a story without all the details, but I thought it was worth mentioning here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.